Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. We watch the Red Sox really get this one over with early so everybody could turn over and watch football.
No, that's right.
Hey, 6 runs in the second? Oh, great. I don't have to worry about flipping back and forth anymore. I just put it on football. It's okay. Yeah, I don't need to watch this anymore. This game's over.
That worked out pretty nicely. The fact that there wasn't a dramatic comeback that you had to pay attention to. Although when Kyle Tucker hit his home run, at least for a moment, there was like a... That was a moment.
No, a big 12-3 win by Boston. They hit another grand slam. Kyle Schwarber hits one in the second inning. That's 3 grand slams already in the series for the Red Sox. It's already a record, and it's 2-1. You know, we still have a long way to go in this series. But Boston gets the big win tonight, up by 9. And, of course, we spent a lot of time the last few minutes talking about Tennessee and Buffalo. The Titans winning this one 34-31. You'll hear from Josh Allen, some other players as well, as they talk about the final play of the game, which was a Josh Allen quarterback sneak, which did not go well. Allen looked like he slipped on the turf, wasn't able to get any purchase. He was stopped. The Bills going for it on fourth down when they could have kicked a field goal to send the ball to overtime. We'll bring you some Josh Allen sound in a little bit because this game really, it had everything. Right? Yeah. The only thing this game is missing, honestly, if this was a game that instead of Bills-Titans was Cowboys Rams or Raiders Steelers, it was something like that, it would be, oh, this is the greatest NFL game that we've seen. But it's Bills Titans, and it's still, you know, as great as the Bills are, as much good pub the Bills get, it's still the Bills. And the Titans, oh my God, it's like Derrick Henry, I told you he's the MVP through 6 weeks. It's not even close. Hey, yeah, it's still the Bills Titans on Monday night. It's one of those, this is a game for the big time football fan. And if it was a game with, hey, the just popular heritage teams, if this was Cowboys Patriots, oh my God, forget it. We'd be talking about this game for years and years and years with a big fourth down call at the end and the big performance by a running back. It would be one of the most famous Monday night games ever, but Bills Titans is going to be okay. It's Bills Titans. So yeah, there still is that pecking order in the NFL.
Yeah, but you know what though? This is one of those games with so many principles involved with big point potential for fantasy purposes and certainly for gambling purposes. When you look at a nice robust 54 total, you're going to have the casual folks kind of eyeballing it, thinking they're going to get some fireworks. Fantasy owners going, I'm down 40. Can Derrick Henry get me there? How about Josh Allen? You going to get me there? I mean, that was why people were mad at the quarterback sneak on the one, you know, that ended up, it still ended up being a passing touchdown, but maybe that's 2 points you would have gotten otherwise, right? You know, that you needed. Or the call at the end. Not that the 1 yard is necessarily giving you something, but it gives an opportunity. Maybe they can punch it in. Maybe there's another, you know, play action rollout, touchdown pass to one of the tight ends in the offing. Cole Beasley, whomever else makes themselves available. So, yeah, I think I'll be curious to see the final ratings off of this one. Mm. I do have to go back to the baseball game just for a second, though, Jason. Because one of the stats that our guy Ralph Irvin on the updates tonight and keeping us informed of all the particulars and really playing the hell out of anything Mike Keith may have said all night. 8 home runs. There are 20 home runs in 8 games already for the Red Sox. So while there's a lot of chanting by folks at Fenway against the cheating Astros, and no doubt our colleague Ben Maller, who will be on here, these Fox Sports Radio airwaves in 2 hours, will revel in the defeat of the cheating Astros, there's going to be some hand-wringing going on here, too, with the prodigious power displays put up thus far by this Red Sox lineup. Not that they weren't home run hitters during the regular season, but we're hitting at a clip that if you're not raising an eyebrow, given baseball's recent history, and by that I mean the last 30 years, you've got to really pause for a second and take a look-see and dig a little deeper, as it were.
just want to see the Red Sox say postgame, well, how do you know? Oh, we know what's coming. How do you know? Oh, we know what's coming. Oh, we can't tell you that.
I'd like to introduce you to the team psychic. We hired her just a couple of months ago. She's really paying dividends.
You getting all these signs legally? What do you mean by legal? Like, are you going to put us in jail for it? And yeah, of course. It's like, oh, like gamely? Oh, yeah, no, we can't tell you that, man. But we know what's coming.
But I mean, you can pray for a sign. Mm-hmm. But people say that all the time. Give me a sign.
Sure. Give me a sign. Sure, it happens.
To whom, whatever deity, whatever, you know, even in the football gods, lower G. Give me a sign that this, okay, the wind's blowing at 24 miles an hour. Yeah, probably don't want the kickers there. So, you know, things of that nature.
So we'll have more on the game coming up and more from Josh Allen as well. Again, and the end of the Bills game was just absolutely crazy. We have had a great slate of primetime games
so far.
But this headline, really big tonight, and it goes in with a couple of other headlines across sports. Washington State no longer has head football coach Nick Rolovich. Right, he was the highest paid state employee in the state of Washington, getting $3 million a year, who was fired after he refused to take the COVID-19 vaccine. Nick Rolovich and four of his assistants are now out. They all decided they weren't going to take the COVID vaccine, so now none of them have jobs. Washington State elevated their defensive coordinator, Jake Dickert. He's now going to be the head coach. First game is Saturday against BYU. This kind of dovetails with Adam Silver today, NBA commissioner, on the eve of the NBA season, saying that, hey, listen, this Kyrie Irving thing, we would have liked the players to come to a universal agreement about vaccine mandates. This is an issue with Kyrie not playing, obviously. He was officially ruled out of game one. This is between Kyrie and New York State. And then in the NHL, oh, by the way, Evander Kane is now suspended 21 games because of violating COVID protocols. But it wasn't just, wait, the guy didn't get a vaccine. No, he falsified his COVID vaccine card. So he's now suspended for a quarter of the season for this. I would like, in a different way to look at this issue, right? I would like in 10 years to go back and talk to Nick Rolovich and Kyrie Irving and Evander Kane and everybody else and Cole Beasley, all these other people. But specifically, you see the headlines today. And I would say, was it really worth it? Was it really worth giving up your livelihood and giving up everything you've ever wanted in your life because you didn't want to take a vaccine that was going to help you fend off a deadly disease? This wasn't a government mandate where they came to your house and took your car, they took your kids, they were garnishing your wages, they told you that you have to give up this house to somebody else and have to move. None of that happened, all right? But yet that's what's been equated to by people who don't want to get vaccinated for COVID. This is trying to get rid of a deadly disease that has claimed the lives of a quarter of a million Americans. Okay, 750,000 people have died of COVID and more are still dying. Yes, we're getting a handle on it, which is great, but when you see the facts of 99% of the people hospitalized all are not vaccinated. Yes, you can still get COVID with a vaccine, right? We saw the death today of Colin Powell, one of the great public servants of all time. We do a whole show about Colin Powell and what he's meant to the United States. He passed away due to complications of COVID, even though he was vaccinated. While people I've already seen on social media and on television going, oh, so you can still get... Colin Powell was suffering from a really bad cancer for a long time, which compromises your immune system, which is makes it hard to fight COVID. Yes, can you get COVID if you get the vaccine? Yeah, you can. But the chances of you getting it are really low, and the chances of you dying from it are really low if you get vaccinated. That's the deal with this. And yet people want to jump and make decisions on this and plant their flag on the hill of, I don't want to take it. Why? Nick Rolovich has had plenty of time to figure it out and still hasn't said why he doesn't want to take it, right? Why not? Right? If you're the head coach of Washington State, you had kids that you went into their homes and said, yes, come play football for me here. And you said, oh, no, but this is a personal thing. I can't do it. What about the 125 men that you have that came to school because you were there and you're the one saying, I'm going to coach you all the way through, but I don't want to get the vaccine and I don't owe anybody an explanation on it? Whoa, this is not just, hey, this is about me. Because Nick Rolovich and Kyrie Irving don't see that this is also about the people that they have that depend on them. Not just their families, which do, because now, hey, you have to find another job that's not going to pay you $3 million a year. Good luck. Good luck. What about these other coaches not making nearly that kind of money? Good luck. You have to go find a job somewhere where if you're not going to get vaccinated, who's going to hire you, right? This is a big thing, and I don't understand why these people think that this is the hill that I'm going to plant my flag and lose everything I work for on because I don't want to get vaccinated. I don't understand, and that's why in 10 years I want to look back and go, do you really think you had a good reason? I mean, did you really honestly think that this was The Walking Dead and it's a sci-fi movie and in 3 years, everybody's got the vaccine is going to die suddenly? We're all going to die off because of the vaccine. Oh, look what happened. That's not going to happen, okay? This is a vaccine against a disease. You have to trust science. In 3 years, it's not going to be the people that didn't get vaccinated saying, see, I told you so. Look, everybody else is dying. I don't understand, right? But I've said that many times. What I really wanted in 10 years, I want to say, was it really worth giving this up? Because clearly, I don't know what reason you had for really wanting to give it up. Now, as you mentioned earlier, he wants to apply for religious exemption. I got to think that if that was something that he really wanted to do, he would have talked about that before. But, you know, as you have said, Mike, and I kick it to you right now, I don't know where religious exemption comes in on COVID-19 vaccines.
No, and that's, you know, the larger issue is, you know, folks can have their reasons and you can like them or not. The one for me, just from an intellectual pursuit, is any citing and application of, hey, I'd like to have consideration for my religious beliefs. I've found nothing in any of my reading. Someone tweeted out earlier in response to something I said, you know, about, you know, the mark of the beast in Revelation. It's like, okay, now we're going to extreme ends, if you want. But otherwise, there's nothing, it seems, at least from my cursory efforts and several of the articles I read, trying to do my research. Sorry, I had to do it. That I found anything that says explicitly that vaccinations are forbidden. And if there is, if you want to, at Swollen Dome, I'd love to learn. Please teach me. And, you know, obviously people have their beliefs, and that's fine. But when it comes down to the government mandate, in this case, according to the report, blind evaluation process, so the two-person committee, which is curious, that evaluated the request didn't have access to any identifying information making its determination. So that's part of the process here. And it kind of leaked June Jones' mentor. You know, Hawaii is their common lineage there in terms of the coaching tree. He kind of gave that up after they had a win on October 9th. But it's just the curiosity as you go through. For Kyrie Irving, look, and this is where the NFL, you know, and Adam Silver and everybody stand up and say, look at the percentage of all our vaccinated players, right? Look at what we've got as a league. Yes, we've got Kyrie Irving, and it's unfortunate we've got a star that won't be able to. But as you said, it's through the city, and they've got public money into the building. Hence, you know, there's a different level that can be applied there as well. So when we look at Rolovich's determination, you know, I forget who you want to cite it to. I'm sure plenty would claim it. We live in a society and you're beholden to other people. And certainly if you're part of a team, part of your work, you know, it's one of the considerations because they're trying to keep everybody safe. And, you know, you brought up the revisit in 10 years. Well, look, we've all got a million decisions we make every day that you'd like to look in 10 years and see, you know, what that path is. Unfortunately, we don't have the time travel code of the Mobius strip.
Yeah,
that Robert Downey Jr. put together for us.
Yeah, but this is still sitting down and going, okay, two free shots and I keep my $3 million a year job and maybe it keeps me alive. Okay.
No, I get it.
This is not, do I take this job and move out of state or do I keep this job here? This is, okay, I'm making a lot of money. I'm doing what I want to do. I got to get two shots. It's going to help me stave off a deadly disease. Okay, I'll do that. I don't see how.
No, but again, they can make the decisions, right? You don't want to, but as we always say, with choices, there are consequences. Mm. All right? And the mandate was announced on August 18th. Here we are, October 18th, it's gone into effect. So you've now got a team that's in the middle of their season that suddenly their coach and a bunch of assistants are no longer there. Totally submarining everything they've worked for through the offseason, the trust they put in each other, in the program, and whatever they did to make sure that they were eligible to play. That's the larger picture for me. For Rolovich, he made his decision. And, you know, the consequences were he's now out of a job. And that this is a decision that's going to have to be made all over the place, right? In Chicago, with the police department, it's a big deal right now. And they're talking about retirements and people deciding how they're going to go and trying to put in for exemptions. Same thing. And it's in every state in the union at this point. So the battle is just beginning on that front, you know, state to state. And Rolovich, from the college football perspective, bleeding into our sports universe here on Fox Sports Radio, he becomes the first to lose his job because of it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. And boy, was this something tonight between the Titans and the Bills, 34-31. The Titans win it. The Bills go for a touchdown in the final seconds of the game, go for a first down. They could have kicked a field goal to send the game to overtime. Sean McDermott says no.
We want the ball, and we're going to win.
Way to go, Matt Hasselbeck. That worked for you, didn't it? They run a quarterback sneak on fourth and half a yard, and it looks like Josh Allen slips. That's what happens when you have a bad field. Hey, it worked in our favor. This is awesome. He slips and falls and can't really leap forward. They get a great push by the Titans defensive line, and the Titans stop the Bills on fourth down, and they take over in the final 10 seconds and kneel on the football, win it 34-31. You know, the funny thing is, Mike, I've been, you know, seeing this game and seeing this be written about the Titans. Oh, our bad field has come back to help us, and it's helping. And I was thinking the other day, and I'm like, you know, I say the same thing to my girls' soccer team. I tell the same thing, because we play on the worst field, right? Our field is, I like, where does our money go, right? Like, I'm going, where does our money go that our field is so bad, right? I mean, there's divots and there's holes. I'm like, how is our field so bad? How is our field so bad? I mean, it's so bad. But I always tell the girls, say, hey, this is an advantage for us because the other teams are going to come in here and look, and they honestly think, hey, this ball's going to be smooth and we're going to make plays. We play on a turf field and all the bounces are great. No, they're going to come in and go, it's bouncing all over. We can attack them. We can get on them a little bit more because they're not going to be ready for this. It's going to take them a while to adjust. And I think, okay, so having a bad field, as long as nobody gets hurt, knock wood, can be a kind of advantage for us. And certainly I've seen so far a couple of teams come in to play us and struggle a little bit because they're not expecting. They're saying, hey, you know, we're top-level girls here. We should be playing on better fields. I want to say, I know, we don't have one. Our field is awful. Hey, good luck. Thanks for coming here to play us. And I know some teams do have trouble because they expect the ball to behave one way and they can't control it as much. It gives you an extra second to get on the player and get the ball back. So yeah, I'm kind of feeling the Titans fans going, hey, our crappy field really helped us out here. I feel that.
You wish it would actually work in all of those fields, right? Because Soldier Field's always voted one of the third worst, yet you got a guy in that's saying, I own you! I can relate to what you're doing, right? Obviously, you're coaching your daughter's team. I'm just there as an interested, loud observer. But
very interested and very loud. Well, that's absolutely what I would say. Very interested, very loud.
No, look, people love the deep voice as I scream at calls missed and problems. But the
I scream at calls missed by the officials. When you say people who love that, that's not the officials. That's the other people.
Well, as long as they acknowledge, okay. Like, because I've actually had a guy, and it wasn't me that was giving him the business, and he just yelled, I'm allowed to get one wrong. And then the guy next to me goes, you can't keep resetting the counter, which is pretty good. But like, and I think everybody can relate to this nationwide. If your kids are in youth sports, whatever it may be, there's field shortages. I mean, there just are. Like here, there's been a lot of fights in Southern California, a lot of bidding to where you're right. You're paying a lot for not a little. Right? Giant patches of dirt, attempts to try to regrow grass, depending on where it is. I mean, we're talking about even in the last week or so, you're getting into the 90 degree plus weather as you're going and the sun is scalding and water you know, restrictions and everything else kind of come into play. So that's certainly there if you're used to playing on turf versus bad grass. Yeah, it's a world of difference. Why, you know, you're supposed to get there the hour to an hour and a half early to practice. Here, you got no choice. It's just your guy, your equipment man, better be able to really read the field and make sure he's got a lot of different lengths of spikes ready to change out and enough helpers on the side to make that happen if the field is particularly bad after a rain or whatever the case may be. So, yeah, we saw the footing. And you'll watch the replay as you do over the course of the night. You'll see it on the replays or on social media. I mean, there's piles and divots all over the place as they're trying to line up for those final plays. So impressive that we got the traction that we did over the course of the game. And no, you can't blame your poor tackling of Derrick Henry on bad footing. Engage the man.
I'm sorry, just couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. But speaking of blaming stuff on things, okay, because we got this coming your way. A.J. Brown tonight of the Titans. So many people, you know, heaving a big sigh of relief going, oh, all right, A.J. Brown. 7 catches, 91 yards. He had a big night for Tennessee. Didn't even know if he was going to play in this game because he was sick. He had a bad case of food poisoning. And it was made available after the game that A.J. Brown said, quote, he ate some bad Chipotle, which was why he was a late addition to the injury report. He got IVs in the morning, didn't know if he could play tonight, and was able to come out and do it, but said, yeah, he had some bad Chipotle, which, boy, that, you know, that gets me because I love Chipotle. Chipotle is great. Are you kidding? I always get the carnitas and the with the black beans and rice, and I get guacamole and shredded cheese, and I also get shredded cheese, and I get the queso on it too because I like cheese. Oh my God, I love going to Chipotle. This saddens me here from
you
there,
needed
from,
the extra cheese. AJ, you know, well, down by us, a couple of them closed, so I don't know if. You know, they were well in advance of what was going on with A.J. Brown. But a couple of them have turned into other eating establishments in the last couple of months in the South Bay. I can tell you that.
That's too bad, man. I like Chipotle. Chipotle's, the chips are so salty, too. The guacamole is really good. I wonder what it was. I feel bad. I feel bad for A.J. Brown. I know what.
Well, I just like that he joked that he's not getting sponsored by them clearly now.
Yeah, oh, yeah, there's no way. There's no, oh, I had bad Chipotle. Okay, and there goes the sponsorship right there. Okay, great. We're not
calling
AJ Brown.
Yeah, I've got a couple on my list. I've not named them, though.
People not to call AJ Brown. Okay, let's get that off right there. All right.
Illness, and then because it was a takeout order, knowing, you know, this goes all the way back to when I was in New York, knowing that I was going to drive through, right, and get the curbside to go kind of thing, giving me trash food, knowing that by the time I see it, I'm 20 minutes away. And there's no way I'm coming back. And that happened with two restaurants that are very large chains multiple times. We have not given them dime one ever since.
Wow. Now, see, that's good. You standing up for principles right there. I like.
I'll spend my money on overpriced family of four meals elsewhere.
Because I wonder how much of it was when do people shrug? Like when you know, you're working at a drive-thru and they go, oh, hey, that dude ordered the chicken sandwich with cheese. Was there cheese on that? Nope. Oh, well, he's probably gone. He's just going to eat it. And meanwhile, I'm driving away going, oh, where's my cheese? Now I got to wait till I get home.
But did you go back and fight him? Right? If you go back and fight him, that's the whole other thing, which I would agree with.
No, because then I could just drive home and put a slice of cheese on it myself.
No, but see, but you already paid for that cheese.
Yeah, no, I did.
So now you paid for it twice. I refuse.
I did.
I'll be that guy to go walk back into a restaurant.
Excuse me.
Because even in the worst of the scenarios, so a deal was I ordered a chicken dish that actually had cheese on it. They grossly burnt the chicken to this was so bad. And then all they did was lay cheese over the top of it, thinking, they won't see it. And you take one bite, it's like, wow, this is charred and defeated to within an inch of its life. Like, I don't even know if it's chicken anymore. I don't think it even counts. I got back in the car. It's snowing. It's awful. I walked back in. Like, yeah, I was here almost a half hour ago, and you gave me this trash. What is this?
Sure. Hey, guy said he was here a half hour ago. Just give him what he wants.
I showed him the receipt. It's like, I picked up this nonsense from your curbside a while ago.
Just get him out of here. Just get the guy out of here, okay? Is it A.J. Brown? Did he say we gave him food poisoning? All right, let's just...
Yeah, I'm not on the level of A.J. Brown, but I'm kind of a big deal, at least in my own mind.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The ramifications for both of these teams coming off of Monday Night Football. For the Titans, look, they needed this, right? The Titans are a team that their window to win and to do something is closing because it's been the same players they've been relying on for the past years. It's still Ryan Tannehill overachieving and hoping Derrick Henry can run for 175 yards a week. So this was a big statement game for them to win to beat the Bills. So for them, they really needed it. For the Bills, it's almost like they were playing with found money because even though they're 4-2, nothing has changed for them. They're still the best team in the AFC. They're still the most complete team in the AFC. In any game they played against anybody else in the AFC right now, I would take them as a favorite. I mean, their final scores, 35-0, 43-21, 40-0, 38-20. This is how Alabama beats teams in college football. This is what they've done. They lose tonight. Okay, it could easily be a game that they won because they could have kicked the field goal to go to overtime. They didn't. They go for it. Josh Allen slips. You can crumple it up and throw it away. The outlier game is the Steelers because as the more time goes on, we go, wow, how did that happen? That game deserves a deep dive, right? Well, that's a deep rewind. We need just how the Steelers, who
can't
score.
Yeah, but the Steelers are now 500.
Right, okay. Yeah, but they're 500, right?
That's fine.
The Bills are a much better team. And they beat Geno Smith, dude. Come on, man. They beat Geno Smith.
Hey, if you're going to do that, go back and look at who the Bills have beaten.
They beat Geno Smith.
No, you've got to be consistent here. Like, if you're going to try to throw away saying they beat Geno Smith, the Bills have beaten the Dolphins, Washington, Houston, and KC. And we know everybody's, you know, torn up about KC. Why? Because it's good for content to scream sky is falling. Houston, they're not good.
Yeah, but
Washington's not good.
I mean, it's not
no,
like
that's
they
fine.
Escaped.
So fine, yes, you killed them. They're still trash.
But it's they can only play who's on the schedule.
Right, my point is if you're going to schedule watch the other with Geno Smith and try to dismiss that, be consistent.
No, because you barely beat Geno Smith. You need him to fumble in overtime to win.
You know what?
Okay,
succeed and proceed.
You know, if you needed Davis Mills to fumble in overtime to beat the Texans, yeah, that's a big thing. But no, but that didn't happen with the Bills.
And you leave Davis Mills alone. How dare you?
You think the Bills are, and now it's like this is like this bizarro world now.
No.
The defending of Josh Allen.
The only thing I just want to make sure that we do this with a calm and measured and reasonable approach. While I love the Bills.
Beating the Bills. If the Bills had to play anybody in a game right now, stakes out there.
A lot of stakes.
Anybody else in the AFC, who are you taking?
I don't know. It seemed like the Titans were ready to punch him in the mouth.
No, but like I said, I like Baltimore.
And I like
you
Baltimore.
You take Baltimore over them?
I think I'd fight Baltimore with them.
Okay.
Do I say it's a decided advantage? Nah. Maybe not. But the run game, even if we make fun of it with the, hey, let's throw back to when these guys were once all superheroes, Lev Bell scoring a touchdown, Devontae Freeman, Latavius Murray, they all scored. And they beat down a team in the Chargers that everybody was ready to crown and did so convincingly, right? Behind a guy who, look who learned how to pass! And Lamar Jackson, suddenly a great revelation for everybody.
I'll still take the Bills.
And you know me, I love Bills Mafia and I love the Bills.
Yeah.
No question about it. But I'm just saying also, you know, if we're going to kind of do the schedule watching thing, let's just make sure we're doing the full schedule watching.
That's fine. I'll still take the Bills over. They're the most complete team in all the AFC, man. This could be a game that the conversation gets even better for the Bills. If they kick the field goal, they go to overtime, they get the opening kick, they go down, sure. They win. They could win. They could have won this game. This is not where, hey, the Titans went out and they dominated the Bills and they were able to
and
win.
The Bills made a
gutsy call and the quarterback slipped and fell because the field stopped.
Yeah, and their next three games are against the Dolphins, Jaguars, and Jets.
Are they really going to play those games?
Or I think they have to,
listen,
buddy.
I don't think you have to. I think you can say, listen, we don't have, like, if you're the, you could, like in soccer, you could call the coach on a Friday night and go, hey, I got a couple of girls who are out tomorrow because they're away. There's a Girl Scout thing, and I can't play. Can we just, cancel the game and you guys will win forfeit? Yeah, sure, no problem. I appreciate it. Thanks, I'll call my girls and tell them. I mean, isn't that what happened with the Dolphins and the Jags and the Jets?
When is that done?
Oh, you'd be surprised, buddy. You'd be
surprised.
That's
the saddest, most pathetic thing I've ever heard.
Man. You'd be surprised.
Show up and play your damn game.
You'd be surprised. Well, people don't have enough.
Steal from other teams in the...
Oh, so now you want people to cheat to play.
No. You can move players up and down. You know how that works.
No, you can't. You can't move players. It depends. You can't just take a player who's
not
on your team
and
go play. No, you can't. You have to. If you're in a league and you're playing, you can't do that. That's like saying that way I'd want the Jets to be able to say, hey, you know what? We're on a bye this way. You know, we can give you Zach Wilson. And teams are going, no, we don't want Zach Wilson. Do you have anybody that's good? We can take them and play them. We got a couple. Because we don't want a lot of the guys that you have. I mean, you can't. Can't do that in the NFL. I mean, I'd love for the Jets to be able to do that.
I know they can't do that in the NFL. I was going back to kids soccer. Right? You can't guess players somewhere to help your team play, buddy.
If you're playing in the league and you've signed it, you can't just go up and say, hey, here you go, you can come here.
It's a roster change for a week.
You can come here. It would be.
You got to have your own taxi squad there.
Boy, these girls will look like they're 18. So what if they are? Go ahead.
I'm not saying the birthdays don't have to match up. Come on now.
No, now you get into softball where it's, hey, this girl's 12. She can play an 8-year-old game. Yep, she's between 5 and 12. She can play. All right.
Why hasn't she moved on to the next division?
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. We'll have more on this game coming up a bit, but straight ahead, one NFL team people think has fixed everything after this week, and they really, no, though, they're in trouble.
They got lots of problems.
Yeah, no, they got a lot of problems. So another team you think has fixed everything, but they really haven't fixed anything. And
how dare you?
Trouble. All those teams are still in trouble. Who are we talking about? We'll tell you next right here, Fox.
Stop, boss.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
He sounds sexy.
Yeah, I am.
We got a great big hot take about one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL coming your way in a little bit less than 12 minutes from now.
It's so damn hot.
Things are not all okay for the Chiefs. All right, it was a few weeks ago I told you, look, this is not your older brother's Chiefs team, right? They don't have the offensive depth they used to, and their defense is terrible. All right, they're not the same team. They're going to struggle to make the playoffs. They're going to struggle to be a wild card team. And after they fell to 2-3, you saw lots of pundits decide to say, oh, hey, you know, the Chiefs are in trouble. They stink. Yeah, the Chiefs are trying to. You're welcome for that take, by the way. You're welcome for that. But now, wait, it's back to normal? They beat Washington, and so things are about, oh, they're 3-3. They're only a game out now because the Chargers lost. The Chargers might not be as good. Just stop. The Chiefs are still in trouble, right? The Chiefs are still 100% in trouble. What's the difference between the Chiefs and a team like Tampa is that Tampa has so many weapons, it doesn't, you can't cover them all, right? The Chiefs simply don't, right? Their defense is bad. That's the way, that's a big thing, right? But you can't fix a defense with, we'll bring in one player at the trade deadline, right? You got to do what the Panthers, let's go get a couple of defensive backs and try to make moves when we can and give up picks. We like the team we have. They don't quite have the offensive depth. So now, since we told you that a couple of weeks ago they were going to struggle, and now everybody wanted to jump on that and everything is solved. It's not solved. But because I'm about positivity and I want to help solve things, Mike, you know me, I like to solve things.
You try, sure.
I will tell you how the Chiefs can solve this. and how they can get fixed. They need, and it's a great thing that they started, you know, kicking the tires on Marlon Mack a little bit because they're going to have questions at running back for a little while. That was good. But they need to go bigger than that. They need to dangle that big draft pick and go get Allen Robinson or Michael Thomas. One of those guys. They have to go do it because the offense just is not as dangerous as it was, because it's really Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, and that's it. Nobody else scares you. Nobody else you have to account for. No Sammy Watkins. No, that's really it. You need to evolve. And Allen Robinson wants out worse than anything. Michael Thomas is unhappy in New Orleans. Yes, you're waiting for him to start playing, but the season is, you still have more than half the season left to go. You pony up a draft pick, both those teams are going to say, yeah, I'm making a really good team better, but they're in the AFC. I don't have to fight with them at all, and I'm getting a really good pick for a guy that would want to walk away. Yeah, okay, we'll go do it. Now, maybe Robinson is a little bit more gettable than Michael Thomas, because if they can get Thomas to play well, maybe the Saints can make a nice run this year, but clearly the Bears are starting over, and Robinson's going to go. He's the guy I go after. Say, here, how about this nice little third-round pick or a second-round pick for Allen Robinson? Would say, oh my God, I get to play with Mahomes. I'll sign whatever contract I want to stay. You could go get him, and you can certainly remake that offense in a second, because now you're adding another star wide receiver. How are you going to cover him? And that's how bold the Chiefs need to be. You can't make the defense any good with one guy, but you can make the offense back into the most dangerous offense in the NFL if you add an elite level wide receiver, and there's a couple of guys out there you can go get.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things also is just as we go through the greatness that is Patrick Mahomes is, well, he also takes chances sometimes that really have been ill-afforded, ill-timed, etc., especially when your defense isn't making any stops, right? You can't be as nonchalant with the ball. I don't know that I've ever heard of anybody being chalant, but that's a discussion for another time. But the idea that you look at Mahomes' interceptions, and that's one of the big stories that headlines things going out of week six, their turnover rate has been very costly. Going back to the end of last year, you had some issues down the stretch. Still, you know, had your Super Bowl run, but couldn't get over. And we've probably acknowledged the 497 lateral rushing yards for Patrick Mahomes behind what was a beat up, beleaguered offensive line. Come into the season, Clyde Edwards-Helaire clearly hadn't become the guy they anticipated, right? There wasn't a balance. Darrell Williams had a nice game this week as they get up off the mat. Remember, Washington's defense, at least for a half, looked like the Washington defense you might have expected until they weren't. And so now you push forward, and it's a difficult schedule. Certainly no cupcakes, because Derrick Henry, even if he's sore off of this matchup, he's licking his chops against this KC defense. There's no question about that. And I don't know how quick a fix you'd have there. Fixing the turnovers has got to be it, right? For all the mind-blowing plays, and I know we've all seen the highlight throwing across the field after evading a sack 100 times, if not more, in the last 24 hours. You know, there have also been a number of balls that have just been, you know, the arm strength of I'm going to try to piece it in where there's really no space. So decision making, and sometimes you just live to see another down.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smiths are with Mike Harmon telling you, be bold. The Chiefs can get right back in it and be at the top. Don't be bold. You're going to sit and you're going to struggle. Coming up next, we got a great hot take coming your way about Aaron Rodgers, who now owns the Chicago Bears. That's next right here. Fox.